Chapter 24, Physiology of the Respiratory System, Chapter Summary. Here's a tip. Listen to this summary after reading the chapter to help you reinforce the key concepts. Before class or your next test, you can also use the summary as a quick review. Respiratory Physiology. The physiology of the respiratory system involves complex, coordinated processes that help maintain homeostasis. Respiratory function includes external respiration through pulmonary ventilation, or breathing, and pulmonary gas exchange, transport of gases by the blood, internal respiration, such as systemic tissue gas exchange and cellular respiration, and finally, regulation of respiration. Pulmonary ventilation. Pulmonary ventilation, or breathing, involves inspiration, where air moves into the lungs, and expiration, where air moves out of the lungs. The pulmonary ventilation mechanism must establish two gas pressure gradients. The first involves pressure within the alveoli of the lungs being lower than atmospheric pressure to produce inspiration. The other involves pressure in the alveoli of the lungs being higher than atmospheric pressure to produce expiration. Pressure gradients are established by changes in the size of the thoracic cavity that are produced by contraction and relaxation of the muscles. Important to respiration is Boyle's law, which states that the volume of gas varies inversely with pressure at a constant temperature. Inspiration involves contraction of the diaphragm to produce inspiration. As the diaphragm contracts, it makes the thoracic cavity larger. The expansion of the thorax results in decreased intrapleural pressure, leading to decreased alveolar pressure. Air moves into the lungs when the alveolar pressure drops below atmospheric pressure. Compliance is the ability of pulmonary tissues to stretch, thus making inspiration possible. Expiration is a passive process that begins when the inspiratory muscles are relaxed, which decreases the size of the thorax. Increasing thoracic volume increases the intrapleural pressure and thus increases alveolar pressure above the atmospheric pressure. Air moves out of the lungs when alveolar pressure exceeds the atmospheric pressure. The pressure between parietal and visceral pleural is always less than alveolar pressure and less than atmospheric pressure. The difference between intrapleural pressure and alveolar pressure is called transpulmonary pressure. Elastic recoil is the tendency of pulmonary tissues to return to a smaller size after having been stretched. This occurs passively during expiration. The normal exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide depends on the presence of normal volumes of air moving in and out and the remaining volume. The spirometer is an instrument used to measure the volume of air. Tidal volume is the amount of air exhaled after normal inspiration. Expiratory reserve volume is the largest volume of additional air that can be forcibly exhaled. Between 1 and 1.2 liters is normal expiratory reserve volume. Inspiratory reserve volume is the amount of air that can be forcibly inhaled after normal inspiration, where the normal inspiratory reserve volume is 3.3 liters. Residual volume is the amount of air that cannot be forcibly exhaled, which is about 1.2 liters. The pulmonary capacity is the sum of two or more pulmonary volumes. The vital capacity represents the sum of the inspiratory reserve volume, the tidal volume, and the expiratory reserve volume. The minimal volume of the lung is the amount of air remaining after the residual volume is removed. A person's vital capacity depends on many factors, including the size of the thoracic cavity and posture. The functional residual capacity is the amount of air at the end of a normal respiration. The total lung capacity is the sum of all four lung volumes, which is the total amount of air a lung can hold. Alveolar ventilation is the volume of inspired air that reaches the alveoli. The anatomical dead space is the air in passageways that do not participate in gas exchange. Physiologic dead space is the anatomic dead space plus the volume of any non-functioning alveoli, as in pulmonary disease. Alveoli must be properly ventilated for adequate gas exchange. The pulmonary airflow is the rate of airflow into out of the pulmonary airways. The total minute volume is the volume moved per minute in milliliters per minute. Forced expiratory volume, or forced vital capacity, is the volume of air expired per second during forced expiration as a percentage of vital capacity. A flow volume loop is a graph that shows flow versus volume, with the top of the loop representing expiratory flow volume and the bottom of the loop representing inspiratory flow volume relationships. Pulmonary gas exchange. Partial pressure of gases is the pressure exerted by a gas in a mixture of gases or a liquid. The law of partial pressures, or Dalton's law, is the partial pressure of a gas in a mixture of gases and is directly related to the concentration of that gas in the mixture and to the total pressure of the mixture. The partial pressure of oxygen and carbon dioxide in the arterial blood equals the alveolar partial pressure of oxygen and carbon dioxide. The exchange of gases in the lungs takes place between the alveolar air and blood flowing through lung capillaries. Four factors determine the amount of oxygen that diffuses into blood: the oxygen pressure gradient between alveolar air and blood, the total functional surface area of the respiratory membrane, the respiratory minute volume, and alveolar ventilation. Several structural components facilitate oxygen diffusion from the alveolar air to the blood. The walls of the alveoli and capillaries form only a very thin barrier for gases to cross. The alveolar and capillary surfaces are large. The blood is distributed through the capillaries in a thin layer so that each red blood cell comes close to alveolar air. How blood transports gases. Oxygen and carbon dioxide are transported as solutes and as parts of molecules and certain chemical compounds. Hemoglobin is made up of four polypeptide chains, two alpha chains and two beta chains, each with an iron-containing heme group. Carbon dioxide can bind to amino acids in the chains, and oxygen can bind to iron in the heme groups. Oxygenated blood contains about 0.3 milliliters of dissolved oxygen per 100 milliliters of blood. Hemoglobin increases the oxygen-carrying capacity of blood. Oxygen travels in two forms: as dissolved oxygen in plasma, and as being associated with hemoglobin in the form of oxyhemoglobin. Increasing the blood partial pressure of oxygen accelerates hemoglobin association with oxygen. Oxyhemoglobin carries the majority of the total oxygen transported by blood. The transport of carbon dioxide involves a small amount, 10%, of carbon dioxide dissolved in plasma and is transported as a solute. Less than 1/4, 20%, of blood carbon dioxide combines with amine groups of hemoglobin and other proteins to form carbaminohemoglobin. Carbon dioxide's association with hemoglobin is accelerated by an increase in blood partial pressure of carbon dioxide. More than 2/3, 70%, of the carbon dioxide is carried in plasma as bicarbonate ions. Systemic gas exchange. The exchange of gases in tissues takes place between arterial blood flowing through tissue capillaries and cells. Oxygen diffuses out of arterial blood because the oxygen pressure gradient favors its outward diffusion. As dissolved oxygen diffuses out of arterial blood, blood partial pressure of oxygen decreases, which accelerates oxyhemoglobin dissociation to release more oxygen to plasma for diffusion to cells. Carbon dioxide exchange between tissues and blood takes place in the opposite direction from oxygen exchange. The Bohr effect involves an increased partial pressure of carbon dioxide, which decreases the affinity between oxygen and hemoglobin. The Haldane effect has an increased carbon dioxide loading, which is caused by a decrease in partial pressure of oxygen. Regulation of pulmonary function. Respiratory control centers are the main integrators controlling the nerves that affect the inspiratory and expiratory muscles and are located in the brainstem. The medullary rhythmicity center generates the basic rhythm of the respiratory cycle and consists of two interconnected control centers. The ventral respiratory group, or VRG, generates the basic pattern of breathing rhythm, and the dorsal respiratory group, or DRG, integrates information from chemoreceptors to regulate the VRG. The basic breathing rhythm can be altered by different inputs to the medullary rhythmicity center. Input from the apneustic center in the pons regulates the medullary rhythmicity area. The pontine respiratory group, also called the pneumotaxis center, is in the pons and inhibits the apneustic center and medullary rhythmicity area to prevent overinflation of the lungs. Sensors from the nervous system provide feedback to the medullary rhythmicity center, which affects breathing. changes in the partial pressure of oxygen, partial pressure of carbon dioxide, and the arterial blood pH influence the medullary rhythmicity area. The partial pressure of carbon dioxide acts on central chemoreceptors throughout the brainstem. If it increases, the result is faster breathing. If it decreases, the result is slower breathing. A decrease in blood pH stimulates peripheral chemoreceptors in the carotid and aortic bodies, and even more so, stimulates the central chemoreceptors because they are surrounded by unbuffered fluid. Arterial blood partial pressure of oxygen presumably has little influence if it stays above a certain level. Arterial blood pressure controls breathing through the respiratory pressor reflex mechanism. Hearing Breuer reflexes help control respirations by regulating depth of respirations and the volume of tidal air. The cerebral cortex influences breathing by increasing or decreasing the rate and strength of respirations. Alveolar ventilation is the airflow to the alveoli. Alveolar perfusion is the blood flow to the alveoli. Efficiency of gas exchange can be maintained by limited ability to match perfusion to ventilation. For example, vasoconstricting arterioles that supply poorly ventilated alveoli to allow full blood flow to well-ventilated alveoli. The big picture: respiratory, physiology, and the whole body. The internal system must continually acquire new oxygen and rid itself of carbon dioxide because each cell requires oxygen and produces carbon dioxide as a result of energy conversion. Blood gases need blood and the cardiovascular system to be transported between gas exchange tissues of the lungs and various systemic tissues of the body. Regulation by the nervous system adjusts ventilation to compensate for changes in oxygen or carbon dioxide in the internal environment. The skeletal muscles of the thorax aid the airways in maintaining the flow of fresh air. The skeleton houses the lungs, and the arrangement of bones facilitates the expansion and recoil of the thorax. The immune system prevents pathogens from colonizing the respiratory tract and causing infection.